This is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
And I am the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith, and this is Rogue Talk for February 1st, 2019. We've already gone through one whole month of the new year, and it couldn't be going by any faster. I don't know what it is, but you get past Christmas, and it starts to just fly, and all of a sudden, it'll be graduation time. I've got, of course, the Rogue Talk mascot, my son Cameron. He's graduating this year, and I have a daughter getting married this year, and the time just continues to fly by, and I don't know that I can keep up with it, but I'm going to try. But we've got a great show for you today. Representative Carl Wilson from the Oregon Legislature. He is the Republican leader in the state House of Representatives. Will be joining me, I'll be curious to see how he's going to handle, as the Republican leader, how he's going to handle the supermajority of Democrats in both houses and a Democrat governor. It's going to be an uphill climb for him to get anything done or to slow down the things that he doesn't want to get done. So I'm going to enjoy having a conversation with Representative Wilson. And of course, you can't escape the fact that the Pro Bowl is over. I'm sure all of you watched the Pro Bowl last week. I watched a few minutes of it as I was doing things that were, you know, more exciting and more important, like watching paint dry and, I don't know, a couple other things. But I did watch a little bit of it. But, of course, that means the Super Bowl is this weekend. And for 99.999% of the country, we'll all be rooting for the Rams, and that extra fraction of a percent, mainly the people that live in the New England area, will be rooting for the Patriots, and also Paula Wright. Shout out to Paula. And so well, most of us will be rooting for the Rams just because, well, let's face it, the Patriots are the perennial Super Bowl team of the last I don't know how many years, thanks to Tom Brady and to Bill Belichick, and to cheating, and, you know, a few other things. But nonetheless, they've been a pretty dominant team. They've had some dominant tight ends, including one we won't talk about that's no longer with us, and among other things that we don't want to talk about. But, it's just an easy team to hate, let's face it. And so it'll be a fun game to watch if you're into the NFL. I kind of got away from the NFL a lot last year. Didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it this year, although, you know, we picked a few games here on Rogue Talk mostly for fun, but I don't really follow it as closely as I used to. I enjoy college football a lot more. Another reason I'm going to root for the Rams is, as well as being an Oregon Duck fan, I am a fan of the Cal Bears. And, of course, Jared Goff, the former Cal Bear quarterback, will be the quarterback for the Rams in the Super Bowl. And, a lot of the doubters were down on Goff in his first season, his rookie season. But, he was on a team coached by Jeff Fisher, who is consistently a 500 or below coach. I don't really understand how he got so many head coaching jobs. He's never really had a team much over 500. And I'm not putting him down. I'm not an NFL coach, not by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just saying that you can't blame a rookie quarterback for the woes of a team that's being coached by, you know, basically a 500 quarterback. So I thought he was going to be a pretty good quarterback. And I knew it would take a little time, as a lot of these guys do. You know, it's a whole different game when there's linebackers that, you know, in college, you would have outrun most of the linebackers as a mobile quarterback. You get to the NFL, you're not outrunning anybody. There's linemen that can almost run, you know, the 40 as fast as you do. So, and not that he's a super mobile quarterback, but you have, it takes time to get used to the size and the strength and the speed of the NFL game compared to the college game. And so, you know, it's not really a logical thing to think these guys are going to come in as rookies and dominate. It happens, but it's not normal. They, you know, it usually takes a little time to get used to the pro game and to kind of learn from some mentors on their new team. And so I knew Jared Goff was going to be better than what the doubters were saying. And I want him to win the Super Bowl. Sorry, Paula, but I'm rooting for the Rams. So of course, that's coming up on Sunday. A lot of you watch it just for the ads. I got to say, I like watching for the ads myself, but they've been kind of disappointing these last few years. The halftime show is almost always disappointing. I like Maroon 5 all right, but I'm not sure how good of a halftime show that's going to be. For whatever you watch it for, maybe you don't watch it at all. You can watch the Puppy Bowl. I think there's a Kitten Bowl now, so I don't pretend to get all of that. So that's enough about that. Let's look at the sports that matter, and that would be the Chieftain sports. Unfortunately, though, the boys basketball team has lost 5 out of their last 6 games. The most recent game was Tuesday night. A hard-fought loss, but a loss nonetheless to Glide, 74-62. And that was kind of a tie-breaking game. The two teams had equal league records and actually equal overall records. And, of course, Glide with the win moves ahead of the Chieftains in the standings. But on the other hand, the girls have won 4 out of their last 5 games, including a thrilling double overtime win, also at Glide on Tuesday night, 45-43. The Lady Chieftains squandered a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter and actually were trailing in the fourth and able to force the overtime. They trailed pretty big. I think they were down 6. I'd have to look back at my score sheets, but I believe they were down as much as 6 points in that first overtime. Came back to tie it up, force it to a second overtime, and finally pulled out the 45-43 victory. And there was a last second shot that had every chance of going down for the Wildcats, but it just didn't go in. And the Chieftains come away with the victory. And so that was a fun one. That was a great game to be at. The boys' game was a good one too. We were just on the losing side, unfortunately. And also for the Chieftains wrestling, they went to one of their most challenging tournaments on their schedule, and that was the Monroe tournament. They finished 9th out of 15 teams. They were only 6 points behind 8th place, which was the host team of Monroe. And the top finishers for the Chieftains, Dylan Hauser was 2nd at 182. Danny Herrings was 2nd at 285. Gabe Tambellini was 3rd at 220, and Tristan Spaeth was 5th at 195. Also wanted to mention, I forgot to mention this at the top of the show here when I normally would do the news, Rogue River has a new police chief. Curtis Whipple is the new police chief, and so everybody here at 94.3 The Bridge, we'd like to welcome Chief Whipple and wish him all the best, and so we're glad to have that new chief in place for the Rogue River Police Department. So that's all I'm going to have for you in this segment. We're going to cut it a little short to give Representative Wilson as much time as we can. And I got another surprise guest coming up in the final segment, so you'll want to stay tuned for that as well. We'll take a break here and be back with Representative Wilson. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Trump applauding a surging U.S. economy. On Twitter this morning, the president writes, "It's the best January for the Dow in over 30 years. We have by far the strongest economy in the world." And the latest employment report is a winner. American employers added 304,000 jobs last month, far more jobs than expected. The robust report comes despite the partial government shutdown. The U.S. is leaving a nuclear arms treaty with Russia that's been in effect for more than 30 years. Secretary of State Pompeo says that Moscow has been and continues to cheat on the treaty by deploying missiles that are banned under the agreement. It's a record drug bust. Customs and Border Protection seizing 254 pounds of fentanyl being smuggled across the southern border into Arizona. The Dow up 162. This is SRN News.
You're on 94.3 The Bridge. Radio that's worth listening to.
With SRN Sports, I'm Michael Harrington. We're going to start with the NBA overnight action, where the Bucks dominate the first half and held off the Raptors.
A 24-point lead in the second half was enough cushion for the Eastern Conference leading Bucks on this night, winning at 105-92. Four times the Raptors got it to within 6 points, but the Milwaukee defense held firm. In a game that had a playoff-type atmosphere, Giannis Antetokounmpo led the way for the visitors with 19 points.
You can tell the intensity was really high. You know, both teams wanted to win tonight, and you know, it was a game moment. You know, game that mattered.
Newly named All-Star Chris Middleton added 18, while DJ Wilson added 16 off the bench. The Raptors' nemesis was the three-pointer, going just 7-for-27 from beyond the arc. Pascal Siakam led the way for the home side. He had 28 points. John Leatherby, Toronto.
Yes, where Orlando beat Indiana 107-100, Detroit 93, Mavericks 89. This is SRN Sports. More NBA tallies for you. Spurs 117, Brooklyn 114. It was the Lakers over the Clippers 123-120 in overtime. Philadelphia 113 and the Warriors 104. AP Top 25 College Basketball yesterday. Number 4, Gonzaga over BYU 93-63. Number 13, Houston beat Temple 73-66. Number 17, Purdue over Penn State in overtime 99-90. And in the National Hockey League yesterday, Rangers 4, Devils 3, Philadelphia over the Bruins 3-2 in overtime, Jets 4, and Columbus 3. Off-court NBA news, the Dallas Mavericks and struggling New York Knicks pulled off the first blockbuster deal before the February 7th trade deadline yesterday. The Knicks sent former first-round pick Kristaps Porzingis to the Mavs, along with guards Tim Hardaway Jr., Trey Burke and Courtney Lee. New York gets Dennis Smith Jr., DeAndre Jordan, Wesley Matthews, and two future first-round picks. This is SRN Sports.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk. And now joining me on the phone is State Representative Carl Wilson. He's the representative of District 3, which includes Grants Pass, and he's also the Republican/minority leader for the Oregon House of Representatives. Representative Wilson, welcome to Rogue Talk.
Well, Jeff, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be on.
Yeah, I appreciate having you here, and I first knew who you were because of your work in radio. Of course, you were the general manager, and I think you were one of the founders of KJO and KLDR in Grants Pass. Is that right?
Well, my dad was the founder of KJO back in 1957. I was just a wee lad at that point, but spent a lot of time in that radio station at that age, I'll tell you. But my brother and I founded KLDR back in 1991 to join with KJO. So, yeah, it's been a lifelong family operation, and, you know, I miss it, but politics is probably more needful right now.
Yeah, although I don't think it pays as well.
Yeah, you know, radio is known for poor wages, but politics is a lot worse.
Yeah, at least at the state level, it seems. But
that's right.
Well, and the job that you have ahead of you seems like a pretty thankless job. But before we dive into that, I did want to mention one other thing. You are a veteran. You served in the Navy, so I never want to pass up a chance to thank one of our veterans for service. So I thank you for that as well.
Thank you. I've been reflecting a lot on that service for one reason or another lately, and I joined when I was 17. My mom and dad had to sign for me, and you know, it was a tough experience back in the 70s in the Navy, early 70s, but you know, I'm glad I did it.
Yeah, and I never had the chance to, well, I shouldn't say I didn't have the chance. I never made that choice, but I always want to thank those that do. So
thank you.
I salute you for that for sure. So you're the minority leader in the House, and we now have a supermajority of Democrats in both the House and the Senate statewide, and of course we have a Democrat governor, and so that presents some pretty big challenges for you. And I was looking at an article in the Statesman Journal. And Senate President Peter Courtney, he had an interesting quote in there, and I almost had to chuckle a little bit. He said he wasn't feeling any extra pressure from the left of his party, yet he faced a primary challenge for the first time in his Senate career. So I found that kind of interesting that he would say that. What has been your experience? Do you feel like Oregon politics is being pushed to the left?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, you know, the House caucus, the House Democrat caucus, is arguably one of the most progressive caucuses in the United States. I get a kick out of Peter saying what he did as Senate president, because everyone knows he's under immense pressure in that caucus from some very progressive people who've just come in. And so I guess he's putting a happy face on a difficult situation. But, yeah, both caucuses, House D and Senate D, are fairly progressive. I will say this, though, for those of us in the House who are expecting to get run over on a regular basis by virtue of a 38-22 margin, the Democrats really are our only hope in the on the Senate side, because there are several Democrats there who are moderate, I call them old-school Democrats, who have a sensibility when you're running over people who represent 30 out of 36 counties in your state. And I appreciate that kind of thinking, and there is some thinking that they will be the stalwart, they will be the vanguard that stops these crazy tax bills one after another.
Yeah, well, and not only tax bills, but we've got some gun bills, we've got some education funding bills, and before we get into kind of the nitty-gritty, you've mentioned your first tactic, if you want to call it that, is using some of the more moderate Democrats or Democrats that are in maybe more right-leaning districts to vote in a more reasonable way, we could say. What other tools are you going to have to use in order to stop some of these bills, which are pretty far left? And we're going to get into some of the issues, but what other tools do you have available to you that would help at least slow things down a little bit?
Yeah, and that's the key. You know, there's virtually nothing we can do to stop the Democrats when they have this kind of margin in the House of Representatives. But there are other procedural tools that at least help you slow down the process. As an example, the cap-and-trade bill that everybody's been waiting for came out today, and the cap-and-trade bill is 98 pages long. Well, why do I mention that? Well, we have to suspend rules every day to keep from having to read the bills. The Constitution in the state of Oregon requires that bills be read in full before voted on, but it has been tradition over time that the legislature, the House or the Senate, will suspend rules and allow the bill to be voted on by title only. And so we have the ability to demand that bills be read page by page before voted on. So we'll just not give rule suspension on those days when you have those big bills. And it takes the better part of a day for the reading clerk to read a 98-page bill before the body. And so that's one issue. There's also the issue of quorum, denying quorum on the floor. That can be extremely difficult, especially in this situation where a quorum is 40 in the House of Representatives, and the Democrats already have 38, so all they have to do is grab two of us off the street. And, of course, the state police and the sergeant at arms have arresting capabilities to be able to do that. And so it's not as easy to deny quorum as it might appear. And so that is one tool that is out there as well, though.
Well, and I had heard a week or so ago, after you had appeared on Bill Meyer's show on KMED, that they were playing a little promo where he was beating the drum of the, you know, we've got to withhold a quorum if we can. And at first I thought, you know, wow, that's not really fair to you and to the Republicans. But I went back and listened to your interview, and I realized that you brought that up. So I was kind of heartened to hear that you were the one that brought that up. But yeah, it's a, you know, that's not an easy road to go either. And I would support Bill in supporting you to put you up somewhere if that was an eventuality that we came to, because some of these bills are really just, they're just ridiculous.
Yeah, they really are. And, you know, we're not bashful about using any of the tools that we have. The reason I mention how quorum can be difficult sometimes is because, as an example, my dwelling place is a mile away from the Capitol. And if suddenly we disappear, the first thing they're going to do is come to my house and look for me. And, of course, I'm going to hopefully have hightailed it far beyond here. But
fishing in Idaho was Bill's suggestion. So
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, you've got to get there first. And the thing is, the Democrats only have to grab two of us. So it's something that we're keeping in our quiver here. We truly are. We're ruling nothing out because, as you say, some of the bills are absolutely over the top.
Yeah, well, and let's get to some of those. And the first one that's on everybody's tongue right now would be SB 501. And SB 501 is an important bill, but there's also, to my understanding, there's as many as 16 different bills that are either, you know, about to be proposed or have already been proposed. And some of the ridiculous things in these bills: background checks to purchase ammunition, 20 round per month limit on ammunition purchases. I don't even know where you buy a 20 round box, and I'm not a big gun advocate. I mean, I'm an advocate, but I'm not a big knowledgeable guy on guns, but I know that much. 18 to 20 year olds can't own or possess any kind of gun. We can send them to war, but we can't give them a gun. They're trying to define assault weapons in such a way that pretty much any rifle would be characterized as an assault weapon, and then they would feel comfortable banning that. 5-round maximum size of a magazine. I mean, these are all ridiculous things, yet we've got a party here in Oregon that's proposing. I mean, these bills exist, and they're happening. What are your feelings on SB 501 and some of the other bills, and is this the kind of bill where you might have to, you know, go to that nuclear option of denying quorum?
It certainly is one of those things that could lead us to do that. You know, again, it's a tool that that we'll use if we're able to use it. And we go there every day believing that we have tools that have been put in the Constitution and put in House rules to protect the minority from the tyranny of the majority. So, yeah, that's an example. I mean, 501 is an example of a bill where we would, I think, really pull out all stops to attempt to stop that. Ultimately, we have to get back to work in a few days, and the inevitable will happen if they still have the will to do that. But, yeah, you know, for those of us who are steeped in the gun culture, 501 is ridiculous on so many levels. It just is unworkable and will turn. I mean, you think of it, somebody steals your gun, and if you do not report that stolen to the police in time, you'll get fined and you may go to jail. It's a remarkable thing. It just simply is unworkable and will turn tons of good people into lawbreakers.
Yeah, and that's precisely it. I mean, they're going to make, I mean, if you own magazines that are bigger than 5, all of a sudden this passes, you're a criminal until you get rid of those or prove that you've gotten rid of them. And I don't even know how they police that. You know, I know that certain parts of these laws, the sheriffs can refuse to enforce them, but that doesn't really protect you from, you know, like, for instance, the ammunition purchase requirements. Those would fall on people like gun ranges. The sheriffs would really have no way to intervene in that.
Yeah, it's sad when you can tolerate the creation of laws that engender disrespect for the law. And that's a prime example, I think, that we see in 501. And it's just so utterly ridiculous that you just realize that this has been put together by people who have an agenda. They have a disarming agenda. Ultimately, that's what they want to do. That's what we see in every legislative session. We see them slowly moving up the tree. They're getting the low-hanging fruit, but they're never satisfied with that. They just keep moving up the tree to the higher boughs. where the near sacred right to own a weapon is ultimately challenged. And, you know, that's where I think they want to go.
Yeah, and it just completely disregards the entire Second Amendment of our U.S. Constitution. But it's a little unfortunate that we have to fight these battles, you know, in the first place.
Yeah, we do. It's a basic difference of opinion on how to interpret the Second Amendment, and we look at that as an individual right, and they don't. And there are 38 of them and 22 of us in the House.
Yeah, and you don't have to comment on this, but the difference in opinions on the Constitution is an inability to read on their part. But again, you don't have to comment on that.
No, I'd be happy to. You know, I just believe in a literal interpretation of our Constitution, and there are just a ton of them who believe that it was built out of rubber to be able to bend and twist as you want to do.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm going to jump in my notes a little bit here, because what you're bringing up there made me think of something that I read recently, and that would be among the many things that Governor Brown has on her agenda of things she would like to accomplish. I heard mentioned the possibility of a VAT tax. Now, if I'm not mistaken, we recently, as the voters, voted on a similar type of tax. And despite the left leaning of the entire northern part of our state, that bill or that measure failed, yet they still want to push it through the legislature. What do you know about what taxes are being proposed, and is there any chance we're going to be able to stop these, as we did as a measure, statewide measure, but we can't do anything about it as citizens, other than talking to folks like you? Where are things on the tax front?
Well, they're back at it again. You know, I think they've probably suggested close to 50 different taxes, and it goes all the way from alcohol taxes to tobacco taxes, business activity tax or a value-added tax. They're even talking about things like this. And, of course, with Measure 97, I think the folks spoke loudly on that and sent that down to defeat terribly, but yet they're back with more taxation ideas that will ultimately lead to a higher cost of living for all of us. And, you know, if you're going to see one tax or two of these taxes pass, that would be difficult enough. But, as I say, only their imagination constrains them, because when they have a quorum like this of 38, you know, when they have, and I shouldn't call it a quorum, when they have a body of 38 members, they can do anything numerically they choose to do, because a tax simply takes 36 votes. You know, will they ever have somebody who wants off of one of those and jeopardizes their own party on a tax vote? I don't really see that happening. So, we need to run out of the time. You know, we need to get to July 1st as rapidly as we can. I wish we could advance the calendar, because there's virtually nothing that will be withheld from them if they choose to pursue everything they want to do.
Yeah, so let's go back to Governor Brown and some of her things. I just, before bringing you on, I kind of refreshed my memory watching a little video of her. And one of the things that we talk about a lot here on this show on Rogue Talk is education. And that's because a lot of my volunteering and even on this show, I have kids from the schools on the show all the time, whether it's FFA or sports or whatever it happens to be. So education is kind of a big focus of mine. But she mentioned something, and she mentioned three words, and I want to talk about these a little bit and see what you're thinking about these. She said repair, reform, and reinvestment in the schools. Now, I'll grant you that my definition of these might be different than hers, but I'll absolutely agree with her. We need to repair our schools. I just don't think what she's thinking and what I would be proposing would be the same thing. And that goes right along with reforming. I definitely think the whole system needs to be reformed. I've had an expert in education on the show a couple of times talking about the dysfunctional nature of our public school system and how it works. But the last thing was reinvestment. And to me, that just means more taxes and throwing money at a problem that money's not going to fix. The numbers don't bear that out. When you look you know, state by state on the spending per pupil. And of course, the measuring stick they like to use is diplomas, how many, what percentage of students are graduating. Yet we have all of these various alternate diplomas that are being offered. So those numbers are kind of skewed in a way, even right here in the district that I'm in. You know, they're skewed a little bit for better or for worse, but they're not an accurate measurement of how well the schools are doing. So what are you seeing? What is she proposing, or what are the Democrats proposing in her name, maybe, that you like or that you don't like?
Well, money is the easy answer. That's her prescription for everything. And she's under pressure because she's basically the head of a failing school system. You've got a situation where we measure very unfavorably to schools around the nation. I'm really happy for some of the improvements that have happened in our local schools. Our graduation rates are improving some, but still, nationally, Oregon is, what, second from the bottom. So she is presiding over a failing system, and her solution is money. She wants $2 billion, maybe $3 billion extra dollars for the K-12 school system. What I have seen in the last year traveling around the state as part of the Joint Committee on Student Success, I have seen one success story that's been rather amazing, and that's Measure 98, the CTE funds that folks voted for, basically getting the kids interested in school again, interested in vocational training. I've even been to a high school where the Caterpillar company has given this particular high school a number of simulators, and so when a kid graduates from high school, they know, at least from a standpoint of operating a simulator produced by the Caterpillar company itself, they know how to operate graders, they know how to operate backhoes, and all kinds of things like that. Some of the things that I've seen statewide with the Measure 98 funds have been really quite amazing. That's really some of the only success that I see in a lot of these stops. But the governor would just say, hey, how about $2 or $3 billion more dollars for the K-12 system, and this ought to turn out okay. Well, you know, that's not good enough. I know right now that various subcommittees of this Joint Committee on Student Success are coming up with specific budget packages, and I think they're going to get around to an accountability piece before too long. But, you know, I've talked too long to explain this, but the problem is that her solution is money, just money, money, money. And the thing that I've seen that really works is CTE, which I think is easily funded at full funding at this point. I think we did it up to 54% last time. I see no reason why we can't fully fund CTE and really start making progress in our graduation rates and our attendance rates. Kids weren't even coming to school. I mean, that's a big problem Oregon has.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I'm talking to Representative Carl Wilson. He's the Republican leader in the State House of Representatives. And I'm glad you mentioned CTE, because that's something I've become involved with recently, and I may actually have some news related to that, but I can't say too much right now. But I will say one of the reasons I've gotten interested in that is because of my involvement with the FFA program. Rogue River High School has the fourth largest FFA program in the state, even though they're a very small school. Almost two-thirds of the students are involved in the FFA program. But also my daughter works in the Rogue River School. She works for the College Dreams program, and she's also been involved with the Gear Up program. And so that's what got me interested in the career and technical part of things, because that's something, I mean, I'm a landscaper right now by trade. This is a volunteer job I do here doing this, but I've also been involved in industrial parts and, you know, hydraulics and those things. And I've just seen, well, I graduated a little over 30 years ago, and when I was in school, it was college, 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 college. And if you weren't going to four-year college, you were basically ignored by the counselors and by any kind of, you know, people that could help you. And so I was encouraged to see things like the Gear Up program, College Dreams, and now the CTE and Measure 98. So I'm glad you mentioned that, because I'm a big proponent of that, and I'm happy to see it flourishing.
Yeah, it truly is. And, you know, we traveled all four corners of the state and saw different iterations of the program, including able to put money into established clubs like DECA, FFA, and other clubs like that to really make a difference in kids' lives. And, you know, kids are not dumb. You know, they know when they're wasting time in their schools. And, you know, we hear that, unfortunately, a lot. But the CTE program and what it's brought has, I think, really made a difference. And in time, I think we're going to see a better attendance rate and a graduation rate that we can be a little happier about.
Yeah, definitely. And I had some more subjects I want to touch on, but we're going to run out of time before too long. So you had already mentioned about the greenhouse gas emission reduction that the governor wants to do and a cap and trade program, and of course we know how disastrous that is. So we won't get into that too much. She mentioned, you know, working with immigrant and refugee communities. Well, we know what that means. It means she wants to be more like a sanctuary state, which is another disastrous idea. Another thing she mentioned that really concerned me was automatic voter registration. What are your feelings on that? And is there anything that we can do to not have that? Because I think that's a really bad idea.
You know, I am not familiar what her proposal is about automatic voter registration. I simply am more familiar with motor voter, which has been with us for a number of years now. And, you know, it's built a large group of people who are not interested in voting. It's interesting. The non-affiliated people are really, really growing because you're just automatically registered when you do a couple of different functions at DMV. You're automatically registered as a non-affiliated voter. So that particular voter block is really, really building. Sometimes they vote and sometimes they don't. In the last election, they turned out surprisingly strong. But as far as, you know, the only thing that I have heard coming out, I will say this, I'm in the Rules Committee, and the chair told me today there are a ton of election bills and the reformation of our electoral system, maybe bits here and bits there, but I'm told we got a bunch of that we're going to be looking at soon. But, you know, the thing that I've heard, the only concrete idea I've heard so far is giving you postage-paid envelopes to send your ballots back because it's too much of a barrier for the voter to put a stamp, to be able to buy a stamp and put on that ballot and get it back in. So we've gone all the way from people standing in the rain to vote to the point where they're saying, the Democrats are saying in this case, you know, we know a number of people are not voting because they can't afford a stamp.
Yeah, and so we'll see how those numbers bear out. I think that's a ridiculous notion.
Yeah, well, you know, we ought to give them a ballpoint pen too, I guess.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, I would rather be rid of vote by mail, but that's a whole nother issue we won't dive into today.
Yeah.
Now, maybe the last thing I want to ask you about, and you may have nothing to say about this because there may be nothing coming up on the docket, but you can't escape the national news has been front and center, the abortion debate. New York passed a law. Governor Cuomo was celebrating signing a law allowing them to have abortions right to the end of a pregnancy. Virginia had to table the bill because their governor, Northam, was basically promoting infanticide. Is there anything you see coming up in the Oregon legislature related to abortion, or are we going to maybe be able to avoid that, at least for this session?
You know, there's almost nothing you can do in Oregon that will make abortion easier. You know, we're probably the most liberal state in the union or close to it when it comes to abortion on demand. And again, when you see the 38-22 count in the House with the Democrats prevailing and you see 18-12 on the Senate side with advantage Democrats, they are, you know, they are not going to rest until they make it absolutely possible for anyone at any time at someone else's expenses to have an abortion. And that's essentially what they have going on here. I'd like to report happy news there, but they've done almost everything they can at this point in time. And, of course, we work with Right to Life, and we're looking forward to doing that. They're concerned about some other issues that diminish life, not specifically abortion at this time. So Oregon just unfortunately basks in the culture of death, and that's just the sad thing.
Yeah, and I try not to talk about it too much on this particular show. On one of the other shows, I get to talk about it a little more. But having discovered your radio stations when I first moved here to Oregon, I had a feeling that you were probably thinking along the same lines that I do. And that's something I liked about your stations was the focus on a little more moral approach to radio, and even the songs, you know, leaving out the content that some of us find objectionable. So
yeah, it's increasingly tough in the commercial music world to live your life that way, but you know, we try it as best we can. We're not perfect, but we know what we want to try to do, and that is to uplift people rather than take them down. And unfortunately, you know, Salem is a sad place to be in many ways these days, because you know, Salem means peace, and you know, inside that Capitol building, it's anything but that at this point in time.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate, and it's unfortunately it's a sign of the times. The left coast has become entirely blue from the Canadian border to the Mexican border, and I wish I could get into more of these issues with you, and maybe we'll have you back real soon. I'm hope to get you in studio sometime when you're back in your district. So
I'd love to do that, and you know, I just want to leave you with the fact that although we have only 22 Republican House members, they all have stout hearts. They're brave people that undergo a tremendous amount of hardship to serve. It's not easy to serve as a Republican in the Oregon House of Representatives, and I'm just proud of them, and I look forward to seeing them every day, and they're really unusual people who have learned to work in an extremely hostile work environment, and they keep coming back for more.
Yeah, I don't envy you or any of our reps, especially on the Republican side. But I want to thank you for fighting the good fight and let you know that, you know, we're behind you, and let us know how can we back you guys up. You know, you're on the firing line. What can the normal citizen do to give you the support you need to, you know, push through some of these issues?
You know, it's all about email these days, and we absolutely love to hear from like-minded constituents who just say thanks. You know, I mean, just like you've done, Jeff, because you can take such a political beating every day, and it's still worth it when you get some people who drop a note and who actually know what we're doing. That's always exciting because we feel like we're working, hidden away sometimes, and people don't really know what we do. They think we're congressmen sometimes, and boy, we wouldn't want to be called that. But nonetheless, we just appreciate thanks and encouragement. And when you hear about these bad bills, go on the legislative website and look up the authors of these bills. It's easy to drop them a note and tell them that you disapprove of what they're doing with the legislative process.
Yeah, for sure. And I'll post, when we post this show to our website, I will include in the notes the email, or at least the how to get to the email addresses. I'll give the website for the state legislature. So, well, go ahead. Did you have something else?
No, I was just going to say, Jeff, thank you. I really appreciate that. The legislature has done one thing pretty darn well, and that is they've got a great website, and it's really easy to get to any member of the House and Senate through that website.
Yeah, and that's good. And I've used the website, and you're right. It is better than I expected, so that's excellent. So, well, thank you, Representative Wilson, for taking time out of your busy schedule. We really appreciate getting your input on these issues, and we wish you a lot of luck. It's a tough job you've got, and hopefully you can win more than you lose.
I hope so. Well, Jeff, thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and your listeners.
Thank you. And we will take a break here and be back with more Rogue Talk. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Trump applauding a surging U.S. economy. On Twitter this morning, the president writes, "It's the best January for the Dow in over 30 years. We have by far the strongest economy in the world." And the latest employment report is a winner. American employers added 304,000 jobs last month, far more jobs than expected. The robust report comes despite the partial government shutdown. The U.S. is leaving a nuclear arms treaty with Russia that's been in effect for more than 30 years. Secretary of State Pompeo says that Moscow has been and continues to cheat on the treaty by deploying missiles that are banned under the agreement. It's a record drug bust. Customs and Border Protection seizing 254 pounds of fentanyl being smuggled across the southern border into Arizona. The Dow up 162. This is SRN News.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school or even let alone go to college, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, studied hard, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone. I feel like if I didn't have anyone to push me, I wouldn't even bother to do it. I got one milestone down the drain, and now I got to work on the next. I see the future is really bright for me. I feel like it doesn't matter the age, as long as you go back and get it done. The high school diploma is just added to the confidence, and now I feel unstoppable.
No one gets a diploma alone. You have more support than you realize. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
When the world seems a little crazy, we are radio you can count on.
You can count on.
94.3.
The Bridge. The Bridge.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3 The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N.
No. Just type the numbers. 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs.
With an SRN News Business Brief, I'm George Bonzani. President Trump says 2 days of U.S.-China trade talks have been fruitful.
It doesn't mean you're going to have a deal, but I can say that there is a tremendous relationship and warm feeling, and we've made tremendous progress.
Among the fruits is a Chinese commitment to buy vast quantities of U.S. soybeans. As for the more difficult issues on the table,
there still is the outstanding issue of intellectual property, but we have until March 1st for that to work itself out. There's a general sense of optimism and a sense that there will be an agreement made because the backstop is President Trump, who has said he will meet with President Xi if it comes down to it.
That's Hillary Kramer, who edits the financial newsletter Game Changers in cooperation with Salem Media. Wall Street closing its best January since 1987. S&P up 23, Dow down 15, NASDAQ up 98. With SRN Business, I'm George Bonzani.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk, and I once again want to thank Representative Carl Wilson for joining us today on the show. It was a great conversation, and I appreciate him taking some time out of his schedule to come on with us. And so before we get to the upcoming events, I have one more person on the phone I wanted to talk to, and we talk about this every year when it comes up, and I wanted to get Lisa McLeese Kelly on the show once again to talk about the Kelly's Automotive Peanut Butter Drive. Welcome back to Rogue Talk, Lisa.
Thank you. Hello.
So give us the details. Tell us what it's all about.
Sure. So it's the Wipeout Hunger Drive. It's our seventh year. And what we do is we accept peanut butter, soy butter, sun butter, almond butter, or even cashew butter, 40 ounces or more. And we'll exchange that for a pair of windshield wipers valued up to $35, and we'll install them on your car. And this all goes to the food banks. So the Josephine County Food Bank in Grants Pass and Access Nutrition Program in Medford.
Yeah, and that's excellent, and I love the idea, and I love the way you, the creativeness of the drive. But it's for a good cause, and of course, we had Lisa on the show for a full episode, and we talked about this drive back then. You can look that show up on our website, but it's a great cause, and you had mentioned when we interviewed you that the protein is one of those things that sometimes gets overlooked, and that's why you chose the nut butter drive.
Yeah, so it's a shelf-stable food. It's really easy for kids to just grab a spoonful of peanut butter, and it gets them some really needed protein to start their day when they come home from school. You know, they can make themselves a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and it's a really good transferable, easy protein to get on the shelves for the houses that really need it.
Yeah, super easy source of protein, and I think I mentioned this in our original interview, but protein's one of those things that your body doesn't store, so you have to give it a fairly constant supply, and so that's why it's such an important thing to get into the diets, especially of the kids. So, well, it's a great program, and of course you have locations in both Medford and Grants Pass, isn't that right?
Yes. So in Medford, we're at 2990 Biddle Road across from Airport Chevrolet. And in Grants Pass, we're at 1661 Northeast 6th Street across from Dairy Queen.
That's right. So get over to Kelly's Automotive, bring that peanut butter or other nut butter, and get some free wipers, and you're supporting a great cause. So Lisa, I got you on here on kind of short notice, so I appreciate you doing that. And thanks for joining me again here on Rogue Talk.
Absolutely. And we might want to say that it ends February 15th. And for more information, they can go to our website at kellysautomotive.com.
Perfect. Thank you, Lisa. And we will talk to you again very soon.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you. So that was Lisa McLeese Kelly. She's from Kelly's Automotive. And her their peanut butter drive is going on, as she mentioned, till the 15th, and you can get free wiper blades for bringing in peanut butter. And again, go to their website and check that out. So let's take a look at the upcoming events. Of course, the FFA beef feed is tomorrow, and that will be at 5 p.m. in the main gym at the Rogue River Junior Senior High School. The silent auctions will begin at 5 o'clock. And that will be followed by dinner. And then after dinner, they will have the live auctions. And this is their primary fundraiser. It's always a great meal. I love tri-tip, and this is a tri-tip meal. So if you enjoy tri-tip, you definitely want to get out there just for the food, let alone the fact that you're supporting a great, great cause. And this will be my first one. I've been to their award ceremony a couple times, but this will be my first beef feed, and I hope to see you all out there. Also, an upcoming fundraiser, the Miss Rogue River Scholarship Program has their crab dinner coming up on February 16th. This, as the beef feed is the largest fundraiser for the FFA, this is the big fundraiser for the Miss Rogue River Scholarship Program. Tickets are available at Umpqua Bank or from any of the contestants. But you can get more information if you tune in next week to Rogue Talk, because I will have the contestants for this year's program right here on Rogue Talk next Friday, so you don't want to miss that. Also coming up tonight, basketball from Canyonville Academy. Girls will play at 5:30, boys will be at 7, and those games will be right here on 94.3 The Bridge. And finally, the wrestlers are off to the Gold Beach Tournament, and that will be obviously at Gold Beach High School. Wrestling will start at 10 a.m. And that's it for this week's show. Thank you once again for joining me, and thanks again to Carl and to Lisa. And everybody, be good to one another, because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith, Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice. 94.3 The Bridge. Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.